Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Leanne Y. from San Diego.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. My name's Leanne, and I'm an alcoholic. I was kind of hoping the rain would kind of keep a lot of people from showing up tonight, but no such luck. By the grace of God and Alcoholics Anonymous, I've been sober since November 9th, 2005. And my sponsor is Tyla C., and my home group is the Big Book Awakening in North Park on Wednesday nights. And I was asking my sponsor what I should talk about, and she said, you're going through the steps again. Why don't you talk about step three? And I'm like, okay, let's see if I can get there. What it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. See if I can do that in 10 minutes and then get to step three. I don't know if that's going to happen, so I'm just going to let God take control right now. What it was like for me when I was drinking, well, it was fun, and then it was fun with problems, and then it was nothing but problems, in a nutshell. And the fun part wasn't very long, you know. The fun part for me was just, you know, like high school, you know, and that was it. And then after that, as I got older and had to start, you know, living life as an adult, and not like in the house of my, you know, under my mom's roof, you know, I started to have to suffer consequences. And, you know, I think it's funny too that when I read Bill's story, and, you know, him and I, even though I have nothing in common with Bill W., absolutely nothing, he's a stockbroker, he was a man, he golfed, he drank whiskey, but yet I have everything in common with the way he thought, the way he felt, and the way he drank, you know. And I could take his experiences and I can turn them into my experiences, and I could pretty much cross out Bill's story and write Leanne's story. But the first paragraph of Bill's story is his fun, and that's it. You know, the rest of it is problems is in drinking, you know. And that's kind of like my life, you know. Like, it was high school. I used to tell people that at one time I had 14 years of sobriety, and they'd go, well, what happened? And I go, well, I started high school. And that's how it was, you know. My senior year, I won Miss Coronado, and that's when I started to suffer consequences, because I turned 18 years old and I moved out, and I was rebellious, and, you know, I was drinking a lot, and not only was drinking a lot, I was doing other accessories, you know, and I moved in with my accessory dealer. And that wasn't conducive, you know, when you hold a title like that. And I remember my pageant director had called me, and she said, you've been seen at parties. And I'm like, and you've been living with someone. I'm like, you know, totally denied it, you know. And she said, well, if it's true, then you're going to lose your title, you know. But, you know, I managed to keep my nose clean, no pun intended, for a while. And you know what? But that was kind of like that was the beginning of my problems. You know, the beginning of my problems from drinking and from doing other things too. You know, and the more my disease progressed, the more I degressed, and the more I made worse and worse mistakes in life. You know, I went from being a beauty pageant queen to going to college. I dropped out of school and became a dancer. You know, it just seemed to be the thing to do. It was conducive with my lifestyle, and that's what I wanted to do. I could drink, I could party, I could make a lot of money. I partied like a rock star with a lot of rock stars, you know. Hey, it was perfect, you know, for a while, but it just didn't work. Bill talks about ominous warnings he failed to heed, and many ominous warnings I failed to heed. I mean, how many ominous warnings did we have before we had to get here? I had hundreds, you know. A failed first marriage, I lost custody of my son, DUIs, accidents, blackouts, I mean, you name it, the list goes on. You know, I can open up the back of that book, the little meeting book, you know, and there's those 20 questions, the have you evers, the did you ever, you know, which clearly should be essay questions, right, because some of them need an explanation, you know. but really, you know, really, some of them did, because did you ever get a DUI? It'd be, well, yeah, but that's because my friend was too drunk to drive, so I had to drive, so that's why I got the DUI. But when I really got honest with myself, you know, I could answer yes to every single one of those questions when I got here. You know, when I got here, I could not only answer yes to every single one of those questions, but I could probably answer more and get extra credit. And what got me here was, you know, I attempted, you know, as my disease progressed, you know, it just got worse and worse. Blackouts were worse, you know, just everything just got worse. It just wasn't working for me anymore. Alcohol didn't work for me, and I constantly was searching for that fun, and I just wasn't getting that anymore. It just was work every time I was drinking, and it was problems. And then my family started to see it, and I couldn't understand this phenomenon of blackouts. It's like, gosh, I mean, and I've always had a faith in God. I just never had that relationship with God when I was drinking. I knew who God was. I knew every, you know, I knew all about God, and I always knew that God never turned his back on me. I always knew it was my fault, and I turned my back on God. But I would get in the, I would pray in the shower, and I go, God, just, I know you don't want me drinking anymore, so just make me a normal drinker, and please take away these blackouts. You know, and I was telling him what I wanted, and it just wasn't working. So, you know, all my failed attempts, I tried to quit drinking on my own, just like the book says. You know, I tried exercise, I tried all this stuff, and just nothing worked. And then finally, one day, I took my kids to soccer practice, and went and drank while they were at soccer practice, you know, like most soccer moms are supposed to do, you know, go out and drink, and went and picked them up, and I don't remember a lot. I was told that I just remember waking up the next morning and going, oh, my gosh, what did I do? Like I always did. I'd always wake up and going, oh, my gosh, what did I do? And I was headed for a tree, ready to crash my car, and thank God my dad was in the car with me because he was able to drive us home, but the kids screamed, and you know, I picked him up from soccer practice, and here I was heading for a telephone pole or a tree. I'm not really sure. But 2 days after that, I walked into my first AA meeting, and I held up my white flag, and I was done. I was done, and I had completely surrendered. And then I lived happily ever after. No, I'm just kidding. You know, and that's not how it is when we get here. It's not like, oh, we get sober, and then everything's, one, you know, happy, joyous, and free. It's not. You know, I did what they told me to do. I got a sponsor. I did the steps. I went to meetings. Everything I was supposed to do, service, all that stuff. And I was going through the motions, you know, did 1 through 12. And I was like, okay, now what? Now what do I do? So, you know, I was sort of lost for a while in you know, for the last couple of years or so. I was, I guess, untreated recovery. You know, I was going to a lot of meetings, but not doing the service part, and then not really focusing so much on recovery. Then I was really heavy on the spiritual side, and then not doing so many meetings. You know, so there was just no balance in my life, and I couldn't understand why. I was just crazy. You know, I was still crazy in my mind. It's that obsession, you know, that it's, if alcohol was the problem, then rehabs would have like a 100% success rate. But alcohol is the symptom, and doctors don't treat symptoms, they treat problems. I'm the problem. I'm the one with the problem, you know. I'm the one with the thinking problem, that obsession of the mind, that obsession to drink. And it wasn't until I started to do the work again with my sponsor, my new sponsor, that I started to see some things. Like, this is an allergy. And I always knew it was an allergy, but was I really convinced it was an allergy? And Webster's Dictionary, the Webster's Dictionary definition of an allergy is a condition of an unusual sensitivity to a substance which in like amounts does not affect others and is characterized by systematic disorders. That's me. That's what I have. You know, and you think, for me, there was this face product I used to use. I used to get it from my dermatologist, and every time it's the greatest stuff, ladies, if you're not allergic to it. It's the greatest stuff. But I would use it all the time, and you couldn't use it, like, all the time. You had to, like, you do 3 months on, and then, you know, 3 months off, 3 months on. And I just love this stuff. Well, the one time I went to use it, my face broke out in welts. And I'm like, I was, like, pissed because I really like this stuff. And so I went to the doctor, and she says, well, you're allergic to this certain product in there now. I'm like, well, I wasn't before. She goes, well, you are now. And that's just like with alcohol, because there was a time when I was able to drink normally. I could have a couple drinks and be okay, but there was something where it crossed that line, where that mental obsession, that obsessing over alcohol, and it's the mental obsession before that first drink that I had, and once I had that first drink, I couldn't control what I drank after that. That's where I knew I was a real alcoholic. You know, and I don't know that I was really convinced of that when I first got here, but I'm really convinced of that today. Today, I know that I'm a real alcoholic. I used to hear people say, yeah, I'm Bob, and I'm a real alcoholic. I'm like, what does that mean? What are you saying? I'm not? You know, I kind of got defensive. Like, what, are there people coming in here faking like they're alcoholic or something because they like what we got so much? You know, I didn't know what that meant, but now I know what that means today. And I know I didn't get to the third step, but I am today. I love where my program is today, and I love where my walk is with my God and my spiritual program. I mean, what I have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition, and that is so true for me today. And I have to be spiritually fit and be there with my God every single day in order for me to really get this. So thank you for letting me share.